Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's program, lesson number 4 of week number 16, studying Matthew chapter 16, part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we get started, these reminders. To access all of our materials, always free, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. To receive a list of these materials, just email us at free@ighradio.com. For text updates, text the word IGHFREE to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word, text IGHFREE to 55222. Here are two great ways to study God's Word. A free, self-paced online program. Get started by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study by mail, call this toll-free number 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get into Matthew chapter 16. At the end of our last study, we saw that Jesus took the Pharisees and the Sadducees to task for asking for a sign. Jesus' first reason was this: they followed the evidence where it led on some occasions, but not on others. They could draw proper conclusions about the weather from the physical world around them, but they failed to draw proper conclusions about who Jesus was from the available evidence. Why did they fail to grasp who Jesus was? They did not accept his claim to be the Son of God. They attributed his miracles to some other cause, some other source. Remember, on one occasion, Jesus was accused to be working miracles by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons, Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. They relied on the traditions of their elders before they trusted God's word. We saw that in Matthew 12 and again in Matthew 15. That's why they repeatedly took Jesus and or Jesus' disciples to task for not washing their hands according to the elders' tradition, or for eating or harvesting on the Sabbath, as they alleged, or for Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day. They were afraid that they would lose their place in society, John 9, verse 22, and John 11, verse 48. Though they often tried to put Jesus in his place with their crafty, malicious, wicked testing questions, as we see in this context, Jesus truly put them in their place with questions that they were really unable to answer. For example, about John's baptism in Matthew 21, 23 and following, and concerning the Messiah-David connection in Matthew 22, starting in verse 42. In brief, they repeatedly failed to understand who Jesus was because of their pride. We noted that at the end of our last study, an unwillingness to accept and or admit the truth and certain conclusions usually results from pride, a resistant will, more so than it does intellectual inability to assess, to accept, to admit, and then to live in accordance with the evidence presented. The issue of pride often interrupted the reasoning of Jesus' antagonists. It's not that reasoning inherently fails because of lostness or our fallen nature, but rather because we refuse to yield to the evidence, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees often refused to yield to the evidence. Yes, of course, we are all different. That's a given. The whole notion of individual demands that you are not like me and that I am not like the next person. But the commonality, the communion, the fellowship that God wants all of us to have, that requires that all of us yield to the same information, that we form the same conclusions, yielding the same character and the same conduct. That requires a huge dose of humility, the exact opposite of pride, in order to accept and to admit these things. On one occasion, Jesus told John's disciples, "Here's what Isaiah said the Messiah would do. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 1, and here's what I am doing. The conclusion, Jesus must be the Messiah, the Christ. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and others who rejected, who denied Jesus' true identity, were doing so in part anyway because they rejected the evidence. They denied that the evidence led to where God intended that evidence to lead. That's why Jesus pointed out their inconsistency in this text. Jesus said, in effect, that if you can draw this conclusion based on this evidence, then you should be able to draw this conclusion, that there's something different about me, a minimal conclusion, or that what's different about me demands the conclusion that I must be the promised Messiah, the maximal conclusion. Their failure to do so, as we noted in our first Matthew 16 lesson, was attitudinal. Jesus' point, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came testing him were perfectly capable of understanding that he was not just a man, not just a prophet, not just a miracle worker, but rather that he was the Son of Man, the Son of God. One more thought before we continue. This does not mean that no religious leader ever broke rank with his peers or his ancestral traditions. It was, however, hard for them to do so. John chapter 12, verse 42 teaches us that some rulers came to believe in Jesus, but that they were afraid to admit it. Hear what John recorded in that text. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. That's John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, there were exceptions. Nicodemus saw what Jesus did, the evidence of his life, his teaching, and his miracles, and Nicodemus realized that something was different about him. John chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." True, the following context shows us that Nicodemus had some misunderstandings about the nature of the new birth, but our point still stands. He recognized that Jesus was a teacher come from God. And later, when the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees to tell them that no man ever spoke like this man, John chapter 7, verse 45 and 46, the Pharisees were very concerned. Here's what they said. "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Two things. First, they worried whether or not rulers or Pharisees believed in him. And second, note their attitude toward the crowd, the word often translated as multitude. The Pharisees, in their "we know, but you certainly don't know" attitude, not only assessed the crowds and the multitudes as ignorant, but they said they were accursed because of their ignorance. And then this, Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." John 7, 50-52. The Pharisees were alarmed that the officers not only failed to bring Jesus back to them, but that the officers were impressed with Jesus. They were afraid that some of their own believed in him. And then one of them, Nicodemus, specifically identified as being one of them, asked a prudent question. "Are we going to judge a man before we hear and know what he is doing?" Later, this same man, Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, took the body of Jesus and anointed it before placing it in a tomb. John chapter 19, starting in verse 38. Not every religious ruler remained steadfast in their allegiance to ancestral traditions. Nicodemus broke ranks. Finally, we note this. When the kingdom of God came into existence in Acts chapter 2, it began to spread. It spread as the word of God spread, And as that word spread, the number of disciples multiplied greatly. We read that in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. But that's only part of the story. Hear the rest of that passage. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. After Jesus was tried, crucified, and resurrected, after he ascended to the Father, after his promised kingdom came, as that promised kingdom grew, some of the priests heard the good news of Jesus' kingdom, obeyed the faith, and became Jesus' kingdom disciples. As we continue our study of Matthew chapter 16, notice what we read in Matthew 16 verse 4. There, Jesus stated two key things, one a principle and the other a prophecy. First, Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. That's the principle. And then second, he said that no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. That's the prophecy. These two items appear to be contradictory. Only the wicked and adulterous look for a sign. But here's a sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. If it was wrong to look for a sign, why did Jesus then offer one? Let's think about that. It's obvious as you read through the gospel records that Jesus worked many miracles, presented many signs during the course of his ministry. The root word translated as sign appears in 8 different forms, a total of 90 times in 82 verses in the New Testament. The most frequently occurring form, the one usually translated as sign or miracle, that form appears 77 times in the text. 61 of those 77 occur in the Gospels or in Acts. Matthew has 13 occurrences, Mark 7, Luke 11, John 17, and Acts 13. The first time that the term appears in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 and 39, where we read, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" Does that sound familiar? It should. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 16. This reminder as we close, to enroll in our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.